Hello, and welcome to this week's Innovative Teaching Podcast. We are the Center for Teaching and Learning at South Mountain Community College in Phoenix, Arizona. This week, I am your host, Jeanette Schaefer, and I'm going to share with you an activity I did in the classroom with my students. We tend to give traditional quizzes occasionally to encourage students to read the chapter, the content for that week's activities. But this week, instead of giving a traditional quiz, I decided to do a game design challenge. The reason I ended up with this idea, I've been listening to Game Design Foundations through lynda.com. And they had just an activity that you could do as a game designer as you're learning the foundations of game design. Well, the idea was so simple and easy that I decided to do that with my students instead of doing a traditional quiz. What I did, I ended up finding a game board design. You can have students create it, but I went ahead and just found one, a template on the internet, printed that off so all students had the same game board design. And I went to AuntAnnie.com, and it's under the link for games, and it's a do-it-yourself racetrack board game. I printed that off. I did not print off all the pieces and everything. I just printed off the board itself. And then what I did, once we got to class, as students came into the classroom, I'd already put the group numbers on the board. And the group numbers aligned with numbers on a die. The students would roll the die as they came in the door. And then whatever number they rolled, that was the group number that they would be in for working with a team. Now, this is really good. We're 3 weeks into the class. However, it was only our second class meeting because we meet on Mondays and we've already had a holiday in there. So it's terrible when you start class 1 week and then the second week you already don't have class. The class only meets one day a week. So with this third week, the students are still getting to know each other. So it was a good team building activity, class building with the students, along with not having a traditional quiz. But I divided the chapter up into sections, and they had to draw from slips of paper a section of the chapter. So they didn't get to pick. They had to draw, and it was luck of the draw. Then they got into their groups. I put them in groups of three. You could do two or three. I went ahead and went with three because groups any bigger than that, you have students sitting out not doing anything. I felt like for this activity, the group of three worked really well. What they did was I gave a little intro. It was a race to the end. So it's a game board. It's got race cars on it. It's meant to look a little bit like a racetrack. And whoever gets to the end of the game first wins. Well, they actually had to design the entire game. I gave them the game board. I gave them a die. And then I actually gave them some game pieces. My own children do not clean up very well, so it was really convenient. They still had a game laying out on the coffee table. I just picked up those play pieces and took those to class with me. That's what the students used. It worked just fine. You could use coins, just anything, rocks for that matter. So you just need like those player pieces that the players will move around. That's all they had to work with. I gave them some blank sheets of paper in case they wanted to introduce cards into the game. And it was mixed. Some of the teams did introduce playing cards to the game. Others did not. So it's really neat to see the creativity of the groups. Now, we did talk a little bit about games. We pulled up like one or two favorite games of students in the class. We talked about, you know, some features of some of those games and what made them fun or what it looked like. So we did, and it might have been like a 5-minute discussion. So it was not a long discussion at all, but it was enough to just get them thinking about some of the games that they play and how they can incorporate some of those features into the game that they're going to make. The groups did very well, I thought. I was thinking we would make the game in 30 minutes. The students really got into it. We needed at least an hour. So make sure you give them an hour to design their games. What's really neat, some of the teams will get into the artistic side of making the game. Oh, yes, it's good to have markers. I forgot to take my markers, but we were able to get enough markers between everybody in the classroom that people could be creative with color if they wanted to. So take some markers or colored pencils or something where they can be creative. A pair of scissors comes in handy too, because we had a couple of people cutting. But so some of them get really creative when it comes to the artistic side and their games are very pretty or, you know, just artistic. Others are more interested in the actual gameplay and making a fun playing game. So it's just neat to see their approach and the outcomes. Now, I'm going to share with you two of them that we did. We ended up having four different games come out of the class, but I'll just share with two. And this one, it's funny. So their topic was how the internet works. This course is CIS 105, so it's that, you know, survey of computer technology. And the game pieces I took that my own children had laying out on coffee table were the monkeys in that game of no more monkeys jumping on the bed. Well, that was the game pieces I picked up because there were plenty of them. They're different colors, so it was easy to separate them out. Well, this group decided to call their game Monkeys Break the Web. I guess it's a little bit like Wreck-It Ralph Breaks the Internet. But anyways, they even printed up a whole sheet of game rules, which was really nice so anyone outside of the group could read the rules and still know how to play the game. And they just did, they were one of my artistic groups. They took the time to create symbols and use color, and they colored their board. But basically what they did, as you play the game, you'll move up the spaces. But if you land on certain spaces, you encounter things that will set you back or move you forward. So they have bad network signals. And these were, if you had a bad network symbol and you landed on it, one turn is skipped due to poor network signal. If the player landed on a buffering symbol, the player goes back to the start due to the network being down and the page needs to be refreshed. Then the other one, it's a little like shield with a spider in it. If player lands on this, the player goes back two spaces on the game board due to a virus on the network. So they've got really, really creative with it. Then there were good network signals. So if you got the mail icon, like Gmail icon, simpler, the player rolls again. So you get to take another turn, which would result in moving forward further on the board. And then if you had a strong Wi-Fi signal, you got to advance one space. Then they had a shield with a lock on it. It says player lands on there, they're safe, explore the web, only one turn. So it was just a real creative way to take the content of the chapter that was based around the web and then make a little fun game out of it. The other group, this group actually got to sit down because we took a whole like 5 minutes to rush through because the class was over, but we stayed after about 5 minutes and rushed through an initial gameplay because that was the plan, that after they created the game, they would match up with another group and do a pilot play of the game. After that, they could go back and make some modifications if they wanted to. We ran out of time, but we did a real quick just test, and then next class, I'm going to let them come in, and we'll start the class off by letting them play each other's games. But the next one was accessing and moving around the web. With this one, they introduced cards, and that's why I wanted to share that one with you. They numbered their spaces. So as you start playing the game, or you start around the game board, the number spaces are 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. And it goes all the way like that around the board with a couple spaces mixed in of go back to the start, lose a turn, advance four spaces, lose a turn. Looks like there's a couple. Yeah, they've got about four with lose a turn. But what the numbers are, the 1, 2, 3, 4, is that they created card piles with the pile for 1, a card pile for 2, 1 for 3, and 1 for 4. When you land on those spaces, you will draw a card from that pile. Now, I believe that each number card, number card of stacks, like the stack for number one and then the stack for number two. I believe each one of those covered a different topic. I'm not 100% sure because, like I said, we didn't have time to play through the entire game. But with that, you take a card and it's kind of just vocabulary or questions about the content in the chapter. The one player reads the card, and then if the player that moved the playing piece answers the definition or the question correctly, then they stay where they're at. If they get the question wrong, they lose a space, so they have to move back one space. Very simple idea, and it was very quick. They did an excellent job because they've got, I don't know, they made up like 20-some cards for the game, so they were hustling to get all that work done. But that's just an idea that you could take into your classroom instead of doing a traditional quiz, or if it's a way where, you know, like, well, okay, so another reason I did this, not just to skip over the traditional quiz, a lot of my students had problems getting their textbook because we have a class, it doesn't meet till 6 p.m. and it's on a satellite campus from the main campus. Well, the bookstore closed at 1 p.m. My students didn't have a chance to get a book. They all worked during the day. By the time they get to campus, the bookstore was closed. So I knew they hadn't read the chapter, and I took in my extra books that I have as an instructor and gave those to the group so that they could use them. So it was another way of giving the students a chance to see the content in the book and to learn that content better instead of quizzing them and knowing they're all going to fail because they haven't even had a chance to get their book. Another little problem solving, you know, how do you get around this and how do you make the learning fun and meaningful when, you know, we're the college ourselves not always accommodating to the needs of the students. But take that idea, run with it. So real quick again, the supplies that I used, I printed off that do-it-yourself racetrack board game from AuntAnnie.com, and you can get to that under the link of games. I took in game pieces from any game. If you have any game at home, you can do that. But you could also use something like rocks or paper or coins, whatever it is that you have multiple of. You'll definitely need a pack of dice because each group will need at least one die. And then for creativity purposes, you may want some colored pencils, crayons, markers, whatever you have handy. A pair of scissors in case people want to develop cards, and then just some white paper if they want to create cards too. But I hope you can take that idea and develop that and use it in your classroom. Be sure to share out what you learn, how it goes, and all of the wonderful things that students are doing in your class. Thank you for joining us for this week's Innovative Teaching Podcast, and we will see you next week.